I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 3, Episode 44. The Magnus Racing, number 44, Aston Martin GTD Evo, GTD GT3 car. Why did I pick that car this weekend? This week?
Sorry. No answer. I mean, why, Sean?
Because the Daytona 24 Hours is going to be, could be Magnus Racing's last race.
Oh my gosh.
Ugh. Right.
So I felt it best to honor it. And we'll honor them again next year, possibly.
More than likely, yeah.
I know, Nate, there was so many NASCAR cars to pick, but we've been on a NASCAR roll of late.
But you know what the best 44 is? It's the Hot Wheels Pontiac Kyle Petty car from 2000.
No, I'm going to disagree with it. I'm going to say it's the Group 44 Jaguar XJK GTP car.
In NASCAR? I was thinking just NASCAR, but I mean, that's a good one.
I'm not talking NASCAR, Nate.
Oh, Sean. Yeah, no, that's not NASCAR by no means.
No, I will say that one was good. I'll also say the other livery before we move on is the number 44 Piedmont car that Terry Labonte drove.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. All right. How's that? That was good. A contender. That was a contender. Not the 44, but I will say the Hot Wheels car was good looking.
Yes.
All right.
Anyways,
on tonight's episode, we'll talk NASCAR, season ender, championship decider. We'll talk, and then we'll spend most of, hopefully, news. We'll have some news. And now we have a 2-week break till F1.
Yeah.
And their 3-week run out to the end of the series.
Yeah, a triple header to finish off the season.
We should be done by Christmas, what? Right?
Yeah, we'll be done by December 8th is when we finish up. But I mean, just talk about dragging the season out at the end here.
Oh my god. Brutal. Anyway, there is some race viewing. We'll get to that towards the end of the show. So let's start with news and notes, and we'll start on some rather sad news in the world of motorsports. One of the leaders of the Alabama gang, Bobby Allison, passed away.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And funny enough, he was at one point a race winner during the playoffs this year. Because his win at Bowman Gray Stadium was counted official during the Grand National, I believe Grand National Series. I forget exactly what.
Yeah, it was Grand National.
Okay.
It was what Xfinity was.
Right.
And so that
win counted as a win now in the Cup Series.
Oh, all right.
So,
well, congratulations to Bobby.
Yep. So it was.
Anyways, multiple Daytona. He won the Daytona 500, NASCAR championships. The father of the legendary Davey Allison, who predeceased him, as well as Clifford Allison, who didn't have as much success as Davey, but again, passed away untimely.
Right, and I think of right away the 1988 Daytona 500 finish where Bobby and Davey finished 1-2.
Oh yeah, classic.
That was a classic.
I also think of fine moments in Bobby Allison's career when he and brother Donnie beat the crap out of Cale Yarborough on the first live broadcast of the Daytona 500.
Right. And for us Northerners, it was the Nor'easter that we were all watching. I mean, I wasn't alive, but I mean, everyone was watching, you know, something on their television. And good chances were you were probably watching Daytona 500.
Daytona 500, and Richard Petty won.
Right? And it really wasn't in was real all... position to win. It was
no, now, no.
It was going to be Cale Yarbrough or Donnie Ells. Ells.
Yeah. And then Bobby after that's nothing better. It's just it's the day of it was so much better than the Perth fights today. Anyways, it was a true fight too.
Actual fight.
A helmet may have been used. I don't know. It was good. It was Tony Stewart-esque.
Yeah, Tony Stewart-esque is the perfect way to put it.
Anyways, so that was untimely. Let's move on to news. A lot of news breaking today, especially in the world of F1. Nils Wittich out as FIA race director. Says he stepped down, but social media is reporting that he was fired. Thoughts?
Well, I mean, given the scrutiny that I think everyone's been giving him, and then the few rants that we've had, I don't want to
take credit
that we did it, but you know, like might have been.
Can I say something? Couldn't this have waited till after the season was over?
Oh yeah,
because now they're elevating the guys, the race director for F2, F3 up to this.
Yeah,
and let me just say this. There is still, I believe, an F2 or F3 race left, correct?
One F2 race left that's going to happen at Abu Dhabi. F3 is finished.
Abu Dhabi. F3 is finished. So, I mean, so is this guy doing both races that weekend?
For the final weekend, yes. But, I mean, he's got basically the only thing logistically is that it gives him two weekends to, I guess, practice.
Yes. He's got three night races to do it in. That's awesome.
Yep.
That should be good. What could go wrong? there we go. Any other F1 news today? Oh yeah, Dan Fellows, technical director at Aston Martin, demoted.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
I mean, again, what like? Let's demote them. I mean, nothing's going to change.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Anyways. IndyCar news today?
Hold on. You forgot about Bortoletto. He officially signed last week.
When
we released, we were
talking about how... Well, yeah, I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
I don't know how excited he is to be with Stauber.
Audi.
Kick Audi. Stake Audi, whatever they are. But we'll see. Now, have you heard this? There's another rumor flying around. Two rumors flying around involving Calipinto.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, and this is obviously allegedly Red Bull's interested in him. But now I'm not so sure because, well, they still could be. But I'm not so sure now that they've confirmed that Perez is going to be in the car next year.
Have they?
Yes. Because apparently...
I thought he was already confirmed.
No, it's just, no. He had a contract. But apparently his backer there, Carlos Sim, who's Telmex, is seriously pushing down his sponsorship dollars on the team for him. So... I think essentially Perez had to go get more money, but I still don't know why he's even going to be allowed to race the car. He's bringing Kit Kat to F1.
Yeah,
Kit Kat candy bars. Official candy of F1 now.
F1 and part of Sergio Perez's portfolio of sponsors.
Yeah, F1, not just Red Bull. F1.
I know, but like. So this Joker is going to get to stay in F1.
Sounds it, which I don't understand. But
okay, because right now he's right there. He's right there with Lance Stroll.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So we got two. We got two, just absolute hacks in F1. Okay.
Who's the other Shaw?
No, two. It's Stroll and Perez.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, it is Lance Stroll.
All right, let's move on. IndyCar news. AJ Foyt Racing is looking for a new technical director as Michael Cannon has left the team. I think it's going to be a Penske person since they have that alliance with Penske. So I don't think Michael did it on his own. I think I think they said, you're out. I think Roger kind of said, we're going to put somebody in the spot. Even though Cannon's kind of rechanged the whole team.
That, and there also might be a job listing on the Penske website.
Or there might be, maybe he's going to ECR.
Yeah.
Possibly Rahal Letterman Lanigan.
With Andretti information? I don't know. But
no. That's probably somebody there.
Oh, I guess it's not an original thought, huh?
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, and there's one other F1 news thing. Alpine has confirmed that they will be using Mercedes engines and gearbox, so they will be an Anglo-German team. Mm-hmm. So are they going to paint their cars white?
Why?
Because the French always surrender.
Oh, good one. Good one. Good one. I walked right into that one, didn't I?
You certainly did, sir.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, I was like,
"Come on, Nate, you got to defend your team, man."
Well, you know, they got a double podium. All right, so you know,
we've been riding on a high.
Yeah. And guess what? They finished second and third.
Yep.
I mean, I'm pretty good at that, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Not just the first loser, also the second loser too.
Oh yeah!
Wow.
Yeah. Jeez. Oh, I know. I get put up with this all the time, Sean. Can you believe this?
I know. All right, let's move over to sports car racing. We do have something. Unfortunately, this isn't going to be on TV. I wish it would be. Could have it on Peacock, but why bother? This weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we have a test of IMSA car at Daytona. 30 cars. Related to the heat up this weekend, including all of our favorites from GTP Racing, including the Aston Martin Valkyrie, and Lamborghini will be there. Exciting.
Mm-hmm. Probably not going to win.
And then we have a host of GTD cars. Were they going to win practice, Nate?
Yeah. That'd be the only thing they can win.
I'm sorry, what event is this? I missed it.
This is a preseason test.
Oh, yes. I gotcha.
Yeah. This isn't the roar. This is the test before the roar.
Yeah. No, I heard Lamborghini as a... Because as a side note, the World Finals are going on, I believe, this upcoming...
That's the other thing. Yes, that's the other... We'll get to that. Yes, so, yeah. Yeah, very excited for that, too.
Yeah.
Get that into my viewing schedule over the weekend. Mm-hmm. Let's see. DXDT Racing, where Brian Sellers is now, what is he? Head of competition. He's the motorsports guy, the head boss. They've announced their IMSA Endurance Cup car that they'll be in. So they'll be in the Endurance Cup series. All five rounds. It'll be Sally Yolick, Charlie Eastwood, and Alec Udell on the five races. And then as a fourth driver, bear with me one second. I just saw this. Oh, it's still upcoming. Sorry, I thought I saw that. So, pretty excited there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What do you think of that, Nate?
Well, we'll see.
We'll see.
We will see.
All right. We will see. More IndyCar news. Nate, you're
gonna love this. Yeah, did you see your boy Logan Sargeant?
Oh yeah. I was praying that was just that was like, you know, a bad meme, but it wasn't.
No.
And he is actually gonna do a test. Oh boy. Well, he's going to be doing a test. And just so you know, at the newest track on the IndyCar schedule,
at the Thermal Club.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I know.
That is, never mind.
Such a waste of time going there. I don't understand.
You know what?
It's not even our actual championship race.
No. It is a championship race. This is actually a real race this year. Yes.
Not an exhibition race this year.
No. It's not a run for cash. This is an actual race. So this means, and I believe that race, I don't think everyone was involved in that race. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was. It was like they had heats, whatever. And I guess
So this time we're actually going to have 20-some cars on that track.
Okay, all right.
So that should be quite a mess after running at Sebring and then going to Long Beach. So the expense bills on crash damage should be fairly, fairly good. So,
yeah.
So, well done, Mark Miles.
He's the man.
Yeah, we'll talk about him next week.
Do you think Logan is actually going to get a ride?
If he brings a check, he'll get a ride. Because right now, Roman Grosjean has no ride, and he's looking for money.
That's right. I did see that on racer.com today.
Although, and I sent you guys this guy could be back in the paddock soon. Devin DeFrancesco.
I did see that. Yeah. Isn't he going with Rahal Letterman-Lanigan?
It could be. Could be. I think it's either going to be there or Coyne. That's just my opinion.
But that's the thing. Could have like four cars now?
No, three.
Oh, that's right. Lundgaard's in McLaren now.
Huh?
Christian Lundgaard? He's filling in for Alexander Rossi, and Alexander Rossi's at Letterman Lanigan.
Yeah, no. Rossi's at ECR.
I'm sorry. Yeah, ECR. That's right.
Lundgaard left to go to McLaren. I mean,
yep. He's filling in for Alexander Rossi.
He took Rossi's number. Blake. That's what he. Yeah. Right. Okay. So that's exciting. We still got seats available. No one's confirmed at Juncos, and no one's confirmed at Coyne.
But just think of this, Sean. Right. You have, if you're Rahal Letterman-Lanigan, you not only have Graham Rahal, but you also have Devlin DeFrancesco. Like, oh, gosh.
And you have an open seat still.
Yeah, who wants to join that?
You have three cars. Oh, and then Coyne's got three cars, and Juncos has two cars. All right.
Where do you think Roman Grosjean goes, or do you think he just retires?
I would say he'll probably, at minimum, he'll be running the Lamborghini here in the States.
Okay.
Because he was running it overseas, so I think he'll be running it here.
Somewhat of a side note here. I've seen headlines around the Lamborghini hypercar program.
And yes.
They're all saying that they've quit because they were uncompetitive.
No, that's incorrect. No.
Right. It's just financials.
No, it's the fact. So the real story with the Lamborghini team, when it was running, they had three chassis. One came to the U.S., one was in WEC.
Yes.
The third chassis, which was really the most advanced car, got wrecked at Paul Ricard massively in a testing accident. That car had all the, that car was actually going to be the car they ran in WEC, and they were going to take that information, put that on the IMSA car. But when it got wrecked, they had to start from scratch. Mm. So they fell behind on the WEC side. And then on the IMSA side, they were fine because they were just doing the Endurance Cup. And, you know, so you ran 24 hours at Daytona test. You ran, and you ran that as a test. The car ran fairly decently. You ran Sebring and survived somehow. You made it to the finish there.
Yeah.
And then the car got progressively better. So they're better off. And then, so then what really put them over the edge was when the FIA mandated two cars, mm-hmm. which I don't think that's correct. I really don't.
No. And I mean, like, they're just, I think some of it is trying to be like F1, and you don't have to be like F1.
Right.
In this case.
That's exactly it. And it,
you have all of these cars and all of these customer teams that want to drive the cars. And
yeah.
And some of the manufacturers aren't making enough cars to be customer cars, which is fine.
Right.
But you do have teams that are doing that. Or I'm sorry, manufacturers that are doing that
and want to
push it forward like that. So yeah. Why wouldn't you want to allow that kind of stuff?
No, and I'll be honest with you, I think Porsche's goal is to get this to the point where they don't have to run a factory team, and they're just pumping cars out.
Right.
That's what they did. That was they ran a factory car at Le Mans and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you know, I think personally, they would rather have 10 teams running two cars each of theirs. Yeah. I mean, that'd be fantastic.
And I mean, yeah, it's having Penske run the factory team is fine. But I mean, they, at some point, Penske's going to be self-sufficient at running that car. So, I mean,
right. But if you look at it like, well, they're not going to be a Porsche team next year, but the Jota team, they won a race.
Right.
And they were competitive, mm-hmm. and they were, you know, they won the Privateer Cup, but they were competitive in the overall thing,
right?
You know, and then on the flip side, JDC Miller back here mm-hmm. was fantastic with their car. The Proton guys were decent with their car. The Penske guys had theirs, and you know, and then I mean, I'll be honest with you, I think the you know, Cadillac should be just making theirs as a customer car.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, seriously, because I bet you the cost of the Cadillac is far cheaper than the Porsche. So you'd have more teams being able to run that. And the car is good. It's just, it's you know, technically it's probably cheaper than the Porsche.
I mean, what are you basing it off of? Because they're both built out of the LMDH platform.
Right, but I guarantee you there's more trickery on the Porsche. You know?
Like, what exactly?
I think the Porsche is far more technically advanced than the Cadillac is.
Marco?
Huh?
I said because Marco.
I just don't think. I don't think the Cadillac. I think the Cadillac was designed not to be as trick as the Porsche. It's not. I mean, I don't think. I don't think the Lamborghini's trick. You know, I'd say the Honda, the Acura, is pretty tricked out.
Yeah, I would say that the Acura,
I would say the Porsche and that. I'd say the Porsche and the Acura are both probably the two tricked out cars.
Yeah, I'm the only point I'll disagree with you on is going into the first season, Porsche was leading the testing mileage, and then they come out of the box and they're not
right.
quick. It not. Takes some time, and then they had to do well. I think they're going to do an upgrade to the car,
yeah.
To use one of their tokens.
Yeah.
All so right. I mean, they could be also trying to over-sophisticate the car too, and miss.
Yeah,
So, which yeah. can happen.
So, anyway, so that's what happened with the Lamborghini. And then okay. with the GT3 car, because they're going to pull the GT3 car out of the WEC, which is fine, but it's going to run an IMSA GTD where it's pretty competitive.
Yeah.
It won Petit Le Mans.
Yeah, it did.
So, I mean, anyways. So, yeah, that's kind of weird. That's what the thing is. So I think what they're going to probably do, they're going to get a bigger bang for the buck being an IMSA, running five races and then supporting the GTD program. But they'll also be running GT3 cars throughout the world. So it's not like they're quitting racing. It's just, yeah, I mean, I disagree with this two-car thing mandate because, you know what, you could have different manufacturers show up and they're just like, I want to do one car. What's the big deal? I want to see more cars out there. I don't really care how many Porsche has. I don't care. If Lamborghini has one, it's fine. I don't care. It doesn't bother me. I just think it's cool that they're racing.
Yeah. The other thing, too, that it's now kind of dawning on me is they talked about this homologation or unification of the rule set so teams could go switch between events without any issue.
Yeah.
And
but you haven't seen that yet. No, none of the hyper cars outside of Porsche, Lamborghini, and Cadillac have run an IMSA. The Ferrari, you haven't seen the Ferrari run.
No, you haven't seen the Ferrari run. You haven't seen the Toyota run.
Right.
And I mean the Alpine is an LMDH car, but you haven't seen it run over here yet.
Right, and they are in conversations with people to do it.
So I mean that notion is still yet to be seen of whether teams just want to go into a race, or I mean even if say the IMSA teams want to join WEC for the 6 hours of COTA. It's local. It's not. It's not.
Gonna they can. The cost, only difference. Cost, the only difference is the tire.
Well, it's the tire and an electrical package.
Yeah, that's all. But I mean, anyway, yeah. But they can do it. But yeah, I mean, Ferrari's missing the boat completely by not being here. So
yeah,
you know. Anyways, I still can't figure out what Toyota's like thinking too. But anyways, who knows? That might all change.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways,
all right. Sorry to derail from IndyCar news.
As long as IMSA stays inclusive and WEC starts to get more exclusive, meaning you know, by mandating certain things, you know, that's what's differentiated IMSA all throughout its life. It's always been, if they don't want you, we'll take you. So who knows?
All right.
All right.
Is there any other IndyCar news that you guys didn't get to yet? I know I put it in there for a
second. The only other thing we have, just two driver things. F2, we have a new American for the last three races.
Well, he's not completely new to F2, but he is doing.
Yes, he hasn't run F2. He's only run F3.
Oh, I thought he'd done a few F2 races.
No. And it's not Logan Sargeant.
It is Max Esterson.
Yep. So congratulations to Max. Mm-hmm. Look forward to that. That's very, very, very cool news.
Yes.
So, great stuff. Anyways. Yep. And then secondly, I'd like to shout out to a former F1 Boston outdoor karting. What was the series we ran?
F1 Outdoors Club Series.
Is that what we were?
Yes, that's technically what it was.
In the Rotax, in the Rotax class.
Tag senior.
Tag senior class.
Yeah.
Christian Zarnecki.
Oh yes. Who
participated in the MX5 Cup shootout this past 2 days down at Homestead, Miami. Unfortunately, Christian did not finish in the top two. But hopefully, we'll be able to, see Christian's endeavors in Mazda MX-5. He's been running, SCCA MX-5s, and he's been running in the, what's the what's it, the World Racing League? Is that it? That endurance series, like, you know, champ, whatever, the champ car and chump car and all that? There's WRL runs up at Watkins Glen a lot.
Yeah, I just see him in the
SCCA stuff.
Yeah, SCCA Spec Mazda class, yeah. Doing those races a lot. I forget what else he's those.
I think it's him in that WRL series. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's pretty cool. Yep. So congratulations to Christian for that. That's awesome. So I know we reached out to him on the socials and wished him luck there. Mm-hmm. Perhaps Christian could reach out to him and bring him on the show. That'd be nice. We have an interview with him.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That would be cool. All right. So I guess we can wrap the show there. Just kidding, Nate.
Oh, yes. We have to just talk kidding. About what, Sean? What
just
are we
going
to talk about? Something on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, I mistakenly had thought the F1 race was this week, and it's not. I got another week off. So we're going to conclude today's show by talking about the NASCAR final race of the season at Phoenix.
I will let you two have the floor, because I have nothing to say about any of this.
You did pick the winner.
I picked the winner because you two picked the other three. Two of you somehow picked three people to win.
Two.
I picked the scraps, and the scraps ended up winning. So
hey, Sean, your boy Logano took it all.
Oh, God. I'm telling you, I was praying that Matt Kenseth was going to get into that race. I really was.
Well, he wasn't there. That's why it happened.
I know. Yeah. But, oh, my God, I was really hoping. All right. Nate, I'll be honest with you. I got nothing to say about this race. I mean, it was about as uneventful as a race can be.
We even said it before going to this. This is the worst track you could have for a championship race. The worst track you can have on the calendar.
Can I talk about that? I mean, honestly, the Xfinity race and the truck race were much better.
Sure. I mean, I get where you're coming from. The action sure is there, but
yeah. But anyways, but you know, I really enjoy how they go into turn one and just why don't they just drive in the parking lot?
Yeah,
because I didn't realize that the track extends down there, but I guess in NASCAR it does. It's just, you know, it was a horrible race.
And you know, this is not how you attract new fans either.
No. Like, well, we'll get to the real reason that there's a drop off, but that race lacked everything as compared to the week before at Homestead. Oh, I'm sorry. 2 weeks ago at Homestead, and even last week at Martinsville was much better.
Yeah. I mean, still a controversy at the end.
At Martinsville.
At Martinsville was definitely a hot button pop.
The shenanigans, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
So
the only exciting part of this race was watching Larson, you know, F around with everybody.
Oh, not the pace car run into the barrels of sand?
Oh, that was, I swear to God, I thought Chase Elliott really hit him. I swear to God it did.
Yeah.
Then they showed the end car. I was like, what was that guy thinking? But I outside of Larson, like, you know, kind of messing around with everybody, that was the only thing that I was kind of enjoying, because I figured he might wipe somebody out, which would have been cool. Oh, if it only was Logano. Oh. Anyways.
You know what's the coolest part? Martin Truex Jr.'s last race.
Well, two things. It was, Martin Truex's last race, and it was also the last race for Stuart Haas.
Yes, yep. And so, two big stories going into it, besides the championship.
Yeah. Yeah, but other than that, that race was snooze fest.
But the cool part was Martin Truex Jr. got pole.
Yep.
So that was pretty cool. I mean, you know, that was pretty cool to see.
But but again, the race was terrible.
Lackluster. Yeah.
it was, you know, as it always happens there, you can make runs, but then you can never, it's, you know, you can't finish them, you know?
Yeah.
Because Blaney was trying, but he just, you know, he just couldn't, because like you start, you know, you're going in the parking lot, driving in turn one, you know, you're cutting corners everywhere, and it's just, anyway. All right. All right. So at the end of the day,
Dog Lake doesn't exist anymore. We know that.
Yeah. And the track is like just, I hate that. Never mind. I got nothing to say about the track.
I got nothing to say.
All right. So let's cut to the chase. Logano won the race, won the championship. Blaney finished second in the championship. Byron finished third in the championship.
Yep.
Okay. And so can I ask a question? How did the top three in the championship finish 1, 2, 3 in the race?
Yeah, I know.
Okay. All right. The next two, well, wait a minute. Well, the next two should have been in the championship, and the guy that finished fourth should have been your points champion. Or was it Bell?
It should have been Christopher Bell winning the whole thing if he's the regular season championship.
Okay, so they no, but if they went points all the way through,
yeah,
and didn't do the cutoff, I think Larson won.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, I see.
I see what you're saying, though. I think you're right too. So the next two, Larson and Bell, who should have been in this whole mess, anyways, finished fourth and fifth with Reddick sixth. Then we had Darrell Wallace, Chase Elliott, Christopher Buescher, and Daniel Suarez. Oh, and then can we shed a tear for Denny losing his sponsor, FedEx?
Yeah, and watch him get like UPS next year.
Yeah, watch Denny be on a team that doesn't have a charter next year too. I don't think NASCAR is messing around with that either.
I
know it's MJ, but I think Denny and those folks, I think, may have bitten off a little too much.
Well, we're gonna find out, because I mean, he's definitely vocal on his podcast. You know,
yeah.
And I think that's another big part of it too, because like he's even, you know, because he said some things, he's also gotten fined for saying such things.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you, I'm not a Denny fan. I think he's a turd.
I mean, I'm not. But I'd
support Keselowski before I support Denny.
See, there we go. All right, now you're all talking sense. All right. Well, damn, Sean. All right.
Yeah. Well, let's put it this way. The two of them plus Logano are in my bottom three. Let's put it that way.
Gotcha.
Followed by Austin Dillon.
And Ty right. Gibbs. So, come on.
Anyways. All right. Yeah. That's kind of how everything.
He had a bad wreck.
Bad wreck short race, unfortunately.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Anyways.
Anyway.
That's all right. Grandpa will keep him in the car next year. Don't worry.
Oh, thank God.
He's also apparently he owns part of the team now too.
Yeah. Great. And so does Marco Andretti when he enters the Indy 500. Like,
yeah, but at least Marco,
you know, Marco's cool. I'm cool with Marco.
I'm fine with Marco.
I like Marco a lot, actually.
Yeah, I don't like Ty Gibbs, and I don't like Austin Dillon. All right.
I saw somewhere where there was like a meme on of the two at Martinsville, and it was like someone said, "Look at the golden spoon
drivers battling it out." Oh, boy. The Grampy's kids.
At Grampy's kids.
It's just unreal. It really is. God, you know, and every day I pray Tony Stewart will come back. Can you understand why Tony Stewart quit the sport?
Oh, because
you got people like that in them, you know, and
not just that, but these cars are slower every year. They go slower,
and he knows NASCAR is killing the product.
Yes, 100%.
All right, let's get to it, Nate. we can close out the show in a it's gonna be a blaze of glory here. Going, yeah. We're taking people to the wood. Are we taking Logano's going to the woodshed just by default? Okay. All right. So I want to start this whole little discussion here. This is Logano. Finished the 2024 season with 7 top 5 finishes. Larson, yeah. Right? Didn't make the final 4. Had 6 victories.
No, but not just that. Larson had the most victories. 6 wins. 15 top 5s. Right?
Yeah.
The best average start.
Right. And right? Christopher Bell.
And top 10 starts as well.
Right. And Christopher Bell was Mr. Consistent throughout the year.
Yep.
Because we were talking about Bell and Buescher all year. They were in the top 10 all year.
And he's led most laps 7 times this year.
And Logano was out.
Most top 5s and most top 10s.
Right. Logano's out. And the only reason he got in was because of the...
Alex Bowman.
Yeah, the crap at Martinsville, right? No, at no.
Was before Vegas.
It was, I mean, half the reason he got the win to get into the championship was because of Austin Dillon being an idiot.
Austin Dillon, I mean, Ross Chastain too.
Yeah. Anyway. All right, so it is what it is. That's how Logano got in. He wins the race. Please.
But here, I'm just gonna give you an overall. Joey Logano had an average finish of 17th.
Yes. In 17th. The year. Yes.
Okay. And he doesn't lead in any stats.
Right.
No
and
stats.
He wins a championship. Because it's like roulette,
right? And Sean, look at this. I'm gonna run down some stats, okay? Just so we have an idea of what we're dealing with here, right? Okay, like I mentioned, Kyle Larson most wins 6. Okay, he won 6 races this year. Oh, and a really good stat: most second places. Brad Keselowski. I mean, I know a thing or two about coming in second, but look. Most top 3 finishes. William Byron got 11. Okay, that's a worthy stat, right? Top 5s. That goes to Kyle Larson and Christopher Bell, 15. Top 10s, Christopher Bell with 23. Okay, and best average finish is Chase Elliott with 11.72. Right. And none of these have Logano in them.
I think you could even take. I think Martin Truex had a better finishing percentage than Logano.
I have to look that up, but even though he has not won a race this year,
Truex until the cutoff. Truex was in the top 10. The only reason he didn't get in was he wasn't the highest point getter, but he also didn't have a win.
But you know, watch it. Like, do you think NASCAR is going to change this point system now?
Yeah. So, all right. So now we talk. All right. So, look, Logano won the race. I'm not going to. I'm just saying the fact that he belonged in that championship hunt. That's the piece. It's like garbage.
Oh, it's
garbage. Yeah. It's pure garbage. He got in by luck. Honestly, you know.
Yeah.
He did.
No, he had a golden horseshoe stuck up his ass.
Right.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So. So I mean, honestly, if he was racing, I swear to God, if Larson was there and the two of them were running, Larson would have dumped him. Swear to God, he would have.
Yeah.
I swear he would have.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Okay. Because what's Larson got there? He's not worrying about anything. He's just running for the win.
He just wants to win championship.
Right, and he got hosed getting in the championship. So, anyways, all right. So, yeah, let's move on now. NASCAR, and let's talk about this because you sent me something today, this morning, and it made me want to just say, this is when I used to like NASCAR.
Oh yeah.
Okay. It was no restricted plates. It was no Gen 3 car or whatever these next gen cars or whatever these things are that they run. Okay. It was, you ran for a team, they put the best motors out there, the best cars, and you put some pretty badass drivers out there. And all these drivers came to each race to win a race. They didn't come to a race to wreck somebody to get to the next, to get to improve their standing.
Austin Dillon.
Well, because think about it. Did you ever see the big one at Talladega? Like, yeah, Bobby Allison went up into the fencing, but it was because he got into it with somebody. That's what changed the whole friggin' thing. And they were like, oh my God, the fans are going to get killed. You know, I got, which right. I mean, I know it's like, yeah, okay. But and then they put the restricted plates on and that just killed everything. And then when they put the restricted plates on, all they get now is 50 car wrecks.
Right.
Okay.
So you've taken the
driver doesn't do anything in the cars now. Okay. No. Because all you're doing now is you're placing yourself to get stage points, which is ridiculous. Yeah, there's no pit strategy. Strategy goes out the window. There's nothing. There is not one bit of anything. There's not one thing of racing in NASCAR right now.
Right.
And the only division that you can go to that there's any racing in NASCAR is the modifieds.
Yeah. Seriously. None of the top three series because they all have stages.
They all have stages. And all they do, they're all stages. They all the, you know, just it's, you know, and it's just like, okay, I'm going to dump you. Okay, great. You know, you go to Watkins Glen. It's a dump fest.
Yeah, whoever wrecks who out in turn one now, first.
So let's go back to the days of Dale Earnhardt and those guys. And you go to Martinsville. No one got dumped. But there was the bump and run.
Right.
Which, the bump and run is actually, there's a science to it.
For sure.
Because you have to do it so that you can keep your speed, not damage your car, and move the other guy out of the way.
Right. It's not a dump and run.
It's not a dump and run. Or, you know, so, I mean, every race today, it's a dump and run. It's ridiculous. And like Christian always says, like when you get on the big tracks, it's like watch the first 10 laps, watch the last 10 laps, because what's going to happen in between? Big wrecks, some wreck, there'll be overtime. And that's the other thing, overtime.
Damn,
that's
right.
The worst thing that happened because that thing made it that made it even more for TV.
That's my thing where I've had enough of it too. Like overtime, just so what? The race ends under caution. You tried it doesn't work. Just
it doesn't
so
work.
What?
Yeah.
Go back to
so
it.
What?
Yeah. All right.
Yep, the way it goes.
Well, and the funniest quote was from Kyle Busch, and I think it was either this year or last year, where he was in the lead at the time the caution came out.
That was last year.
It was last year. And he's just like, oh, if it was back in 1998, we would have won it. Just right. Like the old man.
Yep.
You know? So
no, 100% agree. I mean,
and honestly, the drivers see it too. They see the BS in this. And
yeah. I mean, I think there's a subset of drivers that like this, but I think when you get people like you got Larson, you got I'll be honest, I don't think anybody likes it. I don't think anybody that came up through the sprint cars doesn't like it. Bell and those guys, Busch, they all came up through sprint cars. They hate it. They hate it.
Just a quick stat for you guys, just to butt in slightly, 13 races this season ended with a green-white checkered or overtime.
Sean, that's almost
Yeah, but
that's,
NBC...
That's a third of the schedule.
NBC yeah. And Fox and Lee Diffie and, you know, I'll tell you how exciting NASCAR is.
And
no,
I think Mike Joy's fed up. I'll tell
how
you.
Many,
what he,
how many...
How many... those races?
How many times can I just say something... Sorry, I didn't mean it that way. I'd like to just say some. How many of those that went to overtime went to like triple or quadruple overtime because these idiots can't drive race cars?
Because they're all idiots.
Hold on, yeah. I can give you that.
Sean, great question.
I mean, seriously. I mean, like, anyways.
So there's 1, 2, 3.
I know. There's more than one. So four. I mean, it's gonna prove my point, right?
He already counted four.
He's got five. Maybe there were 13 races.
So there's six. About half of the green white checkers.
Right. Overtime. Yeah. Were multiple.
Went multiple
overtime.
Went at least 7 or 8 laps longer than the prescribed distance.
Yeah.
And then the others went, you know, around 5 or less, but that's how they
score. So that's not whoa, hang on. So that's not even, I don't think that's including caution laps too, Sean.
No, it
like
that
straight
is,
up but... straight up regular cautions during the race?
Regular cautions? No.
No, right, I'm
yeah.
Cuz I'm talking about when the caution comes out before the end of the race, there's caution laps. Then they run it again and do the 2 laps.
I mean, I was gonna count the 7 or 8 plus laps that had or races that had. I'm sorry, I was counting the races that went longer than 7 or 8 laps or more than what the prescribed distance was, because my assumption is that would be multiple green white checkers.
You're 100% right, because Watkins Glen was like 4. I mean, I'm not
Ally
joking.
400 was the worst one with 30 laps.
Is that at Michigan?
It was right before the Chicago Street Race. I don't know which race that was exactly.
All right. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Oh man, I mean, it's just Nate. You're 100% right. That it's not watchable. It's not racing.
The Ally 400 was Nashville. That guess who won? Guess who won that race?
Logano.
Yeah.
Because those mile and a half tracks, a mile and a mile and a half track is the only thing the Penske cars are good on. And people said that. I mean, Larson and those guys said it, you know. But oh my god, it's not going to get better.
No. No, because already the problem, there's so many problems with NASCAR, but I think the bigger problem is, I'm not trying to say anybody can drive these cars now, but they've taken so much speed from these cars. It doesn't add that element of true skill in NASCAR anymore. And I think
No. And you know what else is the problem? I mean,
what?
How many engineers they got on these cars? And Chris, I'm not, I mean, I know you're an engineering major and all that, but I mean, there's more engineers than there are actually mechanics on these cars. Okay.
Yeah.
Because if you go back to those cars, it's
a lot more than what it was.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's not much you can really do on these things other than slick them out, you know, whatever. You know, these guys, you know, you see these teams getting busted for stuff, and it's like the stuff they're getting busted for is they're trying to push the envelope because there's no other way to make these cars go fast. Whereas if you had an open rule book, you know, within reason, you get, you know. I mean, I saw a podcast with Dale Jr. and he was talking with Kenny Schrader, and they were talking about, you know, they were talking about like when they were coming up through the short tracks and stuff, or some of the NASCAR races, whether it was a Busch race or a Cup race, and they were putting they're putting crap in the fuel. And like one race, Dale Jr. was at it. It was a NASCAR lower tier race down in like Myrtle Beach or something. And they sent Ned Beatty down, who was the head tech guy. He went down because they were like, they knew these guys were cheating. He went down and he took the gas caps off all of the cars before the race. And he said to each team, I'll be back. And like 20 minutes later, he came back. And like, and he said, don't touch him. And they were like, oh, okay. And so when he came back, he put the cap back on and he looked at each of the crew chiefs and the drivers and whatever they were putting in the car. He goes, Yeah, that doesn't react well to air. You know? So, I mean, yeah. Like, that's, I mean, that stuff's, that's what you want to see. I mean, personally, that's what I want. You know?
Yeah, and just bring back strategy. And you're,
yeah! Like, do you pit? You know, do you pit? Out. Right. Do you pit? You know, what do you do?
Well, that's the thing.
Now,
you can't even do that now with, like, the green white checkers even, because everyone's going to pit.
Right. And on the stages, the only strategy is, do I pit before or do I pit after?
Yeah.
But
that's not even strategy.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh, do I get points or,
right.
like, stage points or what?
Yeah,
and oftentimes if you pit before the stage just to set yourself up for the final stage and having only to pit twice or once, guessing that there may not be a caution. I don't know. Yeah. It's
I don't know. Stupid.
Even older generation drivers like Mark Martin have had enough of.
Oh yeah, he had a classic this weekend.
I know.
Was it this weekend or last weekend?
It was last weekend.
Yeah, the picture was awesome. That was awesome. I 100% agree. It's just, anyways. I'm just saying from a standpoint of, Logano should never have been in it, but
no.
At the end of the day, he won the race, so whatever. But, but NASCAR thinking that this is like how a championship should be decided is ridiculous.
It's wrong. It's not correct. It's it's everything wrong about crowning a champion as wrong to be.
It's exactly.
So I don't know. Are they too far enough to where they can't put it back to just total points championship? Probably not.
I say this. Let's next week. Let's talk about that next week.
Yeah. Or like just our different ideas on how to maybe fix
how it. How to fix it. I don't like playoffs in motorsports. Period.
No. Yeah, it doesn't really fit well.
No, it doesn't. So, let's talk about what's serious. Let's just maybe next week we'll talk. What can NASCAR? What would like to see NASCAR do to make it more palatable? Secondly, what series gets it right?
Just a butt in real quick, small point. There are some scenarios where a shootout is the best way to go about crowning a winner. But you're doing a shootout normally to progress to the bigger ride in racing. So it.
It's like you have those shootouts. Nate participated in one.
Mm-hmm.
We had the Christian Zanecki was in the Mazda one.
Yeah.
Those are more. I look at that as a competition to get a ride.
Yes.
I mean that goes back to the IMSA days when Jack Roush had his. Mustang GTO cars and Capris and Mercours, and he did the gong show at Sebring, and he brought all the drivers in and said, "Have at it! You're going to do this, and this," and the best one got the ride.
Yes,
and it wasn't just the fastest driver or anything. It was the guy that fit in with the team, get feedback, did everything, that came from every member of the team. So that's a shoot. That's a shootout.
Right, and that's just the difference too. Like,
yeah,
to boil down a entire racing season, a championship to one race like this. I mean, you've reset the field. You said, all right, just go have at it. I mean, don't get me wrong. There are races where it does come down to the last race, and it does have that similar feel of winner takes all. But
I don't want to take
there's a difference between artificially creating that and having it naturally happen.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to be really morbid on the way out the door here on the show, but in 1970, Christian Jochen Rindt won the Formula One World Championship posthumously. He died at Monza. But he had, up until that point, he had the season, you know, was having the season of his career. You know, he was having a career season, but he had amassed enough points and, you know, still wasn't, you know, there was only like two or three races left, you know, after that race, but he still won the championship. You know, I mean, if this was, this was Formula One, he, you know, and it comes down to doing the playoff, it's like he, just because he passed away doesn't mean he's going to be in the final race.
You know? I mean, it's an interesting, you know, take on it. But the other part is like crowning an actual champion. Because you look at it, if you look at regular season points, well, Christopher Bell wins it all. If you look at how the original playoff format went, I believe Kyle Larson would have won it.
Yes, yes, the original one, right, yeah. Yeah, this you're 100%
right. Bogus. It's bogus at this point. Like, what bothers me most is his average finish.
Which seven, point system seven, are you referencing, Nate?
There were two.
The first
iteration of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I've just been.
But where it's just 10 races and you figure it out between those 10 races instead of
just those 10 races.
Three, and one.
You didn't have eliminations and stuff, you know.
Sorry, I thought we were talking about that Winston Cup champion page that's been keeping points that way.
Well, and Christian, this isn't like they change this system every freaking year. There's no same thing about it from, you know.
The best one I saw today was somebody put out, well, if you're the 12th best driver, I guess apparently 12th is the new championship. And he pulled up all the 12th place finishes in NASCAR history, and JD McDuffie finished 12th three times, so he'd be a three-time NASCAR champion.
See that? Oh my gosh!
Oh man. Anyways,
it's just
all right. So, food for thought for next week. You know, I was, you know, just underwhelmed.
Yeah, it just, you know, but I kind of saw it coming too.
Yeah, you know, part of it is
the way the championship is set up. It's the track you're having the season finale at.
Yep, there you go.
It's just a blender of bad things.
Yep.
You know, NASCAR needs to really take a deep look into this and make immediate changes, please. I mean, it's already, I think, hit as ground bottom.
I don't think it's as bottom as it gets. You know, if it goes next year and they wonder why TV's going off the charts, they're gonna know.
It's terrible.
Yeah, and just before we conclude here, and next year the TV product gets even more diluted.
Because Amazon.
Yep.
Right. Well, you know, that's
so now NASCAR's, it's like, where do I find my race now? I can't, you know. Anyways. All right.
Yeah, well.
On that note.
Good night.
Thank you guys for listening to the Redness Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavin. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.